The last few days, we've been talking about Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Philippians, there's like 16 different references to the word joy. There's a whole lot of conversation about gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to know Jesus Christ. That's the goal of Jesus. But do you know what gets in the way? Thanks, counselor. What's your name? Caleb, this one's for you later. Thanks for cleaning up, bud. But you know what? I think that what happens is that some of us, we think that knowing Christ is actually religion. I think that some of us, we think that externals somehow change the heart. I think that somehow we think that really if I do a bunch of things, then everything's okay. But do you know that being converted, being regenerated is not just knowing something. It's not just doing something. It's when there's been a miraculous work of God in your life. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that Paul is recounting his past, and he's talking about religion. In fact, he gives a warning. He says, look out, religion ahead. And then he's going to tell us, lose your religion and find Christ. So look out. There's religion ahead. Look at chapter 3. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. And then verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I think that sometimes we almost think that religion's good. I mean, he says, beware of the dogs. Anyone ever climbed a fence that you shouldn't have climbed? Have any of you ever climbed back over the fence that you should not have climbed because there was something on the other side of the fence that caused you to climb back over the fence? And you climb over and there's the beware of dog sign. You're like, oh, I should have read. I really should have read. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. He's saying, beware of religion, because religion doesn't save. He goes on and he says, so if somebody says this, if somebody says you must believe in Christ and be a good person in order to be a Christian, that's religion. If someone says you have to do good deeds and have faith in Jesus, that's religion. If someone says trust in Jesus and be baptized and give a tithe and join the church in order to get to the highest heaven, that too is religion. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. When you hear the name Salt Lake, what do you think? You think Mormons? No way. Really? Why? Because there's a whole lot of Latter-day Saints. That's what the formal name of Mormonism is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And sometimes when I am out in the South, okay, when I'm in the South, sometimes people say something like this. They'll go like, wow, you know, it must be nice serving there in Utah because there's all those Mormons. They're really good conservative people, and maybe they listen to a conservative talk show host that's LDS on the radio. And sometimes Southern Christians are like, wow, I mean, that's just really awesome to be out in a conservative place. But can I tell you something? Mormonism preaches a false gospel. Mormonism actually preaches that to be saved, that you actually, that you look to the example of Jesus Christ. And the Jesus of Mormonism is not the Jesus of Christianity. Just because you know Jesus and I know Jesus doesn't mean we know the same Jesus. Like, Jesus, oh, Jesus is awesome. You like Jesus? I like Jesus. Oh, yeah, my neighbor's Jesus, your neighbor's Jesus. Oh, man, we must be neighbors of the same Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he's talking about Jesus having grandkids. I'm like, grandkids? Jesus is 16. Wait, we must not have the same Jesus. You see, we have a different Jesus. The Mormonism Jesus, the Jesus of Mormonism, and the Jesus of biblical Christianity is a different Jesus, because the Jesus of Mormonism is just a piece of God. It's like, well, all of us, it's the same as all of us. The official teaching of Mormonism is, as God is, I can become. As God was, I am. So as I am right now, God was, and as God is, I can become. So what they really teach is that I can become a god. It's a totally different religion. And I'm saying this because sometimes we look at externals and we think that just because somebody has the right externals that everything is okay. But can I tell you something? Religion does not save people. Do you know that pornography, highest use of pornography per capita in the United States of America, do you want to guess which state in the union has that title? Utah. You want to know the highest percentage of female attempted suicide in the nation? Utah. The highest per capita prescription drug abuse, can I tell you what state? Utah. Why do you think? Because religion doesn't save, that's why. Religion is an external that is forced on the outside that does nothing to change the inside. So it's kind of fun to talk about another state, but let me talk about South Carolina. Let me talk about North Carolina. Let me talk about the South for a minute. Would you look up here? Do you know what's going on in the South? There is a cultural Christianity. There are some of us that think that externals save. There's some of us that we think that if I vote for the right presidential candidate, that if I believe in what the Constitution says, and by the way, I'm from Idaho, so I'm pretty into the Constitution, okay? But you know what? I'm concerned that there's a cultural Christianity in the South, and it could be that there's some of us in this room that we've grown up going to a conservative church, but we know nothing of Jesus. We know a Jesus, but it's a different Jesus than the Bible Jesus. Do you know, straight up, there could be some staffers here that you're looking at your job at the Wilds as your Messiah. The Wilds Christian camp did not die on the cross. This is not your salvation. Christ alone saves. There's some of us, we look to our positions, we look to our Christian college, we look to all these things, but none of those things save. Only Jesus saves. And what do we see in this passage of Scripture is he says, if you're adding anything to Jesus Christ, that's not salvation. Look out, because religion does not boast in knowing God. Religion boasts in what I do. Religion boasts about who I am. Religion boasts about me doing more good things than bad things. Look out, there's religion ahead. And I just want to shout out to every single one of you, lose your religion. Lose it. For what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Lose your religion. Religion does not save. We look at Paul. He goes through all of his pedigree. He goes through all of his list of things that he felt were something special. I mean, just listen to him. He says, beware the dogs, verse 2. He goes, for we are of the circumcision. And then he goes on, verse 4, for though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he have a trust in the flesh, I have more. He says, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, you think you're religious? Well, I'm super religious. I was circumcised the 8th day. I am a Jew. You know what? There are Gentiles and there are Jews. And I am one of God's chosen people. In fact, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. It's not just enough to be a Jew, but there were two tribes that stayed faithful to Jerusalem. There were two tribes that stayed faithful to the Davidic covenant. And one of those was the tribe of Benjamin. The first king of Israel was from the tribe of Benjamin. So he's saying this, I know who I am, and I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And he goes on, he says, and I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I keep every law. Remember what he said right there? He said, as it's touching the law, I am a Pharisee. It's not just that he was a Hebrew, but religiously, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the best of the best. He was the cream of the crop. And he had zeal. I mean, he was passionate. He was willing to go up to Damascus and kill another Christian. I mean, but Paul was so intense. He was just full of his outward standards. He was religious. And what does he say all of that is? just a pile of dung. We've all been on a hot summer day playing ball barefoot, and we step in a pile. We've all been in the farm. We've all put our foot right into it. And he says, you take all of my religion, and it's a dump truck full of dung. Look up here. Some of you that don't cause people problems, do not trust in your ability to avoid trouble for salvation. Some of you that show up to every spiritual event, that's not your salvation. Some of you that are more conservative than the rest of the kids in the youth group, that is not your salvation. Lose all of that and find Christ. You see, this is good for all of us, isn't it? This is good preaching for the speaker. This is good preaching for the sponsors. This is good preaching for all the staffers. And this is good preaching for all the campers, because we all have a lust for religion. Every single one of us want to think of ourselves as a little bit more spiritual than we are. Every single one of us want to cover up our sins by good behavior. Every single one of us, we love and lust after self-righteousness. We love religion. But I want to just shout it out. Lose your religion. It'd be very sad to me that you were to gain all of this world and lose your own soul. My friend, he's about 6'7" or 6'8". I was in his wedding. Actually, I was supposed to just be in his wedding. I ended up doing his wedding because the person that was supposed to do his wedding got stuck in the airport. And so my friend the night before said, yeah, I need you to preach my wedding. His name is Bob. His middle name is Ralph. His last name is Roberts. Robert Ralph Roberts. We went to school together. We liked all the same girls. So we'd always be like, but our senior year, we just started being friends and we started hanging out. He called me up. I was doing a little evangelism. He was working at a camp up in Northwoods, Wisconsin. And he calls me up. He goes, Will, I just put my faith and trust in Christ. I said, get out of here. I said, no, you didn't. He goes, no, yeah, I did. He said, Will, I was just a kid, and I came forward in a service, and some guy put his hand on my head, and, you know, I said some words, but I never put my faith and trust in Christ. He said, I walked up to a pastor friend. I asked him about salvation. And the pastor friend said, look up to the sky. Look up to the heavens. And you see all those stars? I mean, you know, a God like that, he's going to save us. I mean, it's kind of this weird assurance of salvation thing. And my friend, he just went to all great lengths. I mean, all the way through college, he was the externals. He was the religion. He was the guy that did all these things. But in his heart, there's no Jesus. And you know what? What I'm trying to communicate is that we cannot trust in what we do for our salvation. And if some of you are trusting in what you do and you're trusting in what you do and you're not saved, my friend, stop living a broken, bitter life. The most miserable person is somebody that's trying to act like a Christian who's not a Christian. But you know what? Myself, I truly was saved as a kid. And I really did put my faith and trust in Jesus. And you know what? I was just as miserable. And you know why? Because what was going on is I was thinking it was the outsides. It was the externals that actually drew me closer to Christ. But guess what? It's not the externals that saved me. And it's not technically the externals that sanctify me. It's Jesus Christ. It's pursuing and knowing Christ. And so what do we see in these things is that Paul is saying, don't go back to your religion. None of that saves. None of that works. What you really need to do is lose your religion, but you need to choose a relationship. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for who? You fill in the blank. He counted loss for, read verse, that verse 7. He counted loss for, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, say it with me, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, but that I may win. Do you see the contrast? Lose your religion. Find Christ. Lose your religion and find Christ. I want you to look up here for a second. How many of you, without lifting your hand, you know that your only hope for salvation from your sin is that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Don't raise your hand. How many of you would say this? Will, don't raise your hand. Will, I don't know. I mean, I've grown up hearing these things. I know Jesus is the Son of God. I know that he died on the cross. But I don't know if I've ever put my faith and trust in Jesus. I mean, who'd say this? Will, I know I have not put my faith and trust in Jesus. I know these things mentally. Can I just exhort you? Lose your religion. Find Jesus Christ. Choose a relationship with God. You see, Paul wanted Jesus Christ, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness, which is of God by faith. Last night, we took the time just to explain that righteousness is being morally right and without sin. Only God is righteous. I am not righteous. I cannot make my own righteousness. I cannot become my own righteousness. But Jesus Christ, God the Son, lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He fulfilled all righteousness. He died on the cross so that there could be an exchange. Your sin put on Jesus Christ. His goodness, his righteousness put to your account. He says, I don't want myself. I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of the law. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of self. I'm worn out. By the way, do you know what needs to happen? Somewhere, somehow, you must become worn out of your own sin. You must become worn out of your own self. You must become worn out of your own striving and religion. You must become worn out so that you can taste Jesus Christ. I am concerned because some of you, you grew up in a place that there it is, Christmas, and you sat down, and this is a good thing, by the way, and you heard the Christmas story, and the whole time you just can't wait. How many of you have ever been listening to the Christmas story, and you're like, I wish this would hurry up because I want to get to the presents? Okay, me too. Don't. It's not unspiritual. My hand's up, okay? Look up here, though. How many of you have ever been sitting in church and the preacher was telling a really cool story and you're like there and then he made his point and then he started talking about Jesus and you zoned out? Who's ever done that before? Okay, does anyone here know Tic Tracs? Does anyone know Tic Tracs? Those are like old school Tic Tracs. Anyone know Tic Tracs? Okay, so like my church had a bunch of Tic Tracs. What are they? They were like these little cartoons. They were black and white cartoons. And they had like these sensational stories. And I would not use all of them. I mean, some of them to me are a little bit over the top. There's a couple good ones, but some are way over the top. And that's why I kind of liked them. Because there would be like one called The Gunslinger. And it shows this guy coming into town. And he's just one bad dude. And he's pulling his gun and he's blowing people away. And I mean, and you're seeing like, and then they don't swear, but they put like X question mark, exclamation point, you know, stuff like that. And then you see a guy slumping down, and then the gunfighter, he gets like, somebody gets him, but then somebody intervenes who's a Christian. And it's a really cool story. It's a really cool story. Does the counselor want to help? You can just go out that door right there. Just go out a door. There you go. That's right. Let's not get, they got a little sick, but that's okay. We can stay focused. We're mature enough to handle this for another 7 minutes here. And they got all this, they'd have all this, you know, the gunfight and whatever, and then all of a sudden it gets to the gospel. You know what I do with the gospel, guys? Look up here. By the way, I don't think it's an accident that there's things that disrupt services, by the way. So I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Who do you think doesn't want me to talk about Jesus? Okay, so I think any Christian here is going to help put your energy this direction so that those that need Jesus can hear. So all of a sudden you get to the gospel. You know what I'd do? Is I'd close it, I'd read the next one, and I'd pick up this other one. It's Holy Joe, and it's this like this recruit that comes in that's a Christian, and the sergeant is just a real mean guy, and there's Holy Joe praying, and the sergeant comes in, and he goes, get off your knees, Holy Joe, and you see him getting kicked and stuff, and then Holy Joe's the one that jumps on the grenade, and then it goes right into the gospel, and what would I do? I'd read that story, and then I'd close it, and then there was another one, and it was talking about this kid that got kidnapped. And I mean, it was just a gripping story. And then all of a sudden, it'd get to the gospel, the last page, and I'd close it. And you know what I find sometimes is that some of us have grown up in a Christian culture where whenever we start really hearing about Jesus Christ, God the Son, dying on the cross, being buried, being raised from the dead, we close it out. We tune it out. We're saying, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true for me. I don't know if that really applies to me. Can I just shout it out again? Lose your religion. That's religion. When you don't have an interest in Jesus, but you have an interest in the externals, that's religion, and religion does not save. Paul wants Jesus. Paul wanted Christ. He wants to win Christ. He wants to be found in Christ. He wants the righteousness of Christ. Paul is killing it. Paul is shouting out, religion doesn't save. How many of you think this is applicable to us here in the South? Would you raise your hand? How many of you teens ever get sick of religion? How many of you ever get sick of things that sound religious but don't look like Jesus? How many of you ever get sick of that in your own life? What do you want? Paul wanted Jesus. Paul wanted to be changed by Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do you know what Paul wanted? Paul wanted to be so changed. He so wanted God to change him on the inside out. I've got a question. How many of you can think of some sin struggle in your life that you just want to see Jesus conquer? Look at me. Do you have Jesus? Because the only way to see life change is not through religion. The only way to see life change is through the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. And so Paul is saying, I want to know Jesus, and I want to see that resurrection power. I want to see that resurrection power that Jesus Christ was shown, where he conquered sin and death. And I want that same resurrection power in me to conquer the death and the power of sin in my own life. Do you know that's what happens with the gospel? You see, when I got saved, can I tell you what happened mystically, spiritually? Is that I was brought into union with Jesus, so that when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, I died to sin as well. And so that when Jesus rose 3 days later, I rose with Jesus as well. So that no longer am I under the condemnation of sin, and no longer am I under the power of the consequence of sin, which is death. And that's why, guys, when I look at my life and I see some area of sinfulness, it should take me all the way back to the gospel. I should go all the way back to Jesus Christ dying on the cross and saying, wait a minute, am I in Christ? Is Christ in me? Have I been set free from sin? Have I been set free to live under righteousness? Oh God, make me. Oh God, change me. Can I tell you something? Religion cannot change you. So some of you that are wrestling, and some of you that are falling into the same old, same old, same old, go back to the gospel. Are you in Christ, and is Christ in you? If that's the case, then you've been set free. So therefore, you're not under the power of sin, and therefore, by God's grace, you can yield to the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can actually do what God's called you to do rather than doing what your flesh is alluring you to do. Oh, the emotional temptation of sin is there, but there's something greater than your emotions, and his name is Jesus. And if Jesus dwells in you, you've been set free and you're being made conformable into his image. And do you know what else Paul wanted? Paul wanted to spend forever with Jesus. What is your heaven? I want everyone's attention for 2 minutes. Look up here. Everyone put your pen down. Look up here. What do you want? More than anything else in this world, what do you want? Answer this. What do you want? I just want somebody to like me. I want to go to college and, I don't know, get married and have kids. I don't know. I just want to live a life. I just want some money. I don't want a lot of money. I just want enough money that I'm comfortable. I don't know. I just want to make that sports team. I don't know. I want to play that game. I don't know. I want that immoral pleasure. I don't know. I want that thing. I don't know. I just want that gadget. I don't know. I just want that article of clothing. What do you want? Does it have anything to do with God? What do you want, if by any means? If by any means, I'll do whatever it takes, God. I'll just do whatever it takes. I just want to be with you forever. I just want to obtain the resurrection of the dead. I want you, Jesus. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is Christ even more. Look up here. Could it be that there's some of us here that do not know Christ as our Savior? What do you think? Then why don't you run from your sin and be saved like now? Like right now. Like you know in your heart, you're just like, then be saved. Cry out to God. Could there be staff members like Big Bob working at a Christian camp? Who at 10:30, he hits his knees and he puts his hands up and goes, oh God, save me. Three words, God, save me. Lose your religion, find Jesus.